This week, President Biden ordered U.S. intelligence agencies to investigate the origins of coronavirus.
A lot of news on the coronavirus tonight.
President Joe Biden has ordered intelligence officials to redouble efforts.
Redouble their efforts to investigate the source of the virus.
How this pandemic started is becoming more and more of an issue.
And one thing they'll be looking into specifically, if the virus could have leaked from a Chinese lab. This idea has been around for over a year, but for a long time, it was dismissed by the scientific community as an unfounded conspiracy theory. So what has happened between then and now to bring this idea back into the news? Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Friday, May 28th. Coming up on the show, how the lab leak theory went mainstream.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Betsy McKay covers global health, and she says it can take years to find the origins of where viruses come from. When the pandemic started, most scientists believed that the virus likely moved from species to species.
The hypothesis is that it probably originated in a bat and then jumped to another animal. And then at some point, it evolved enough to infect a human and jumped.
That remains the prevailing hypothesis about COVID's origins. But then, of course, there's that other idea. That the virus could have escaped from a lab.
You know, the reason that originally started was simply that this outbreak started in Wuhan in central China. But the type of virus that caused this pandemic is not really in that area of China. And at the same time, there's this lab, this well-known institute in Wuhan, the same place where the outbreak occurred. This institute just happens to conduct world-leading research on coronaviruses. So it's kind of a natural question to ask yourself, could this have escaped from the lab?
This lab, which is part of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, studies disease and sends researchers around China to collect viruses, particularly coronaviruses.
It's the first institute in China to have a high-level, biosafety-level laboratory. It's called BSL-4. There are very few of these around the world. It's where work on the most dangerous viruses is done.
And when COVID hit, some theories emerged about how the virus could have come from a lab. One theory was that it was an accident, that the lab had been studying a virus it collected and somehow the virus escaped, maybe through an infected lab worker or through the ventilation system. Other people suspected that the lab in Wuhan had been intentionally creating a deadly virus to study it and learn how to fight against it. And some took it one step further.
Pieces started circulating on the internet, questioning whether the Chinese military had been working on creating a bioweapon and this was it.
This was picked up on social media and YouTube videos around the country.
COVID is an offensive biological warfare weapon that leaked out of that Wuhan BSL-4. That is what we are dealing with.
To be clear, the Chinese government denies all these theories. And the Wuhan lab published a paper early last year saying they examined the COVID virus and compared it to other viruses they'd been working with. They found a virus that was related, but it wasn't the same as the rapidly spreading COVID virus. Nonetheless, the lab found itself at the center of attention. The Trump administration started raising questions about a potential lab leak.
There is a significant amount of evidence that this came from that laboratory in Wuhan.
attention, which was not helping anyone find out what really happened.
Unfortunately, it politicized and polarized what really should have been, from the start, just a basic scientific question. When there's a new outbreak or an outbreak of a new virus, one of the things you do, you know, the scientific community does, is get together and go do the due diligence, look at the lab records, interview the staff, check their medical records, check biosafety at the laboratory, and see if it's possible that it escaped or not.
And that's exactly what the World Health Organization wanted to see happen. So about a year ago, they decided to send a team of scientists to China to try to get to the bottom of the question. Setting up the trip took months. According to Wall Street Journal reporting, Chinese health officials weren't thrilled to let the scientists in. They saw it as an attempt to assign blame. Finally, at the start of this year, the team left for a month in Wuhan.
International experts in epidemiology, virology, disease ecology, you know, different specialties. They were looking into questions about animals and wildlife, epidemiological questions. How did the outbreak in Wuhan start? You know, when were the earliest cases? What happened at this market? And what are the genetics of the viruses that all these people had show about how it spread?
On their trip, the team visited the meat market, hospitals, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They spent hours speaking with their Chinese counterparts. And in February, the investigation ended with a joint press conference of the international team and the Chinese team.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the press conference of joint expert team of China WHO SARS-CoV-2 origin research.
This is where the international team said that they had deemed the lab leak hypothesis extremely unlikely.
We also looked, for example, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and it was very unlikely that anything could escape from such a place.
Chinese health officials also reinforced this idea.
The hypothesis of lab leak is put into the matrix of extremely unlikely. Thank you.
What was the impression that the WHO team gave during this press conference of how the trip had gone?
While they were in China, their comments were very positive. They highlighted the collaboration. Generally, it was very positive and certainly not accentuating, you know, the fact that there was information that they had wanted but couldn't get. They didn't talk about that.
That is after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Tap the banner to learn more or visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
After the WHO team left China, the Wall Street Journal reported their access had been extremely limited.
Members of the team were frustrated that they couldn't get access to raw data that might have shown earlier cases, people who had gotten sick before December 2019. They were very frustrated that the Chinese team had presented their conclusions, but not the data that helped them lead to that conclusions. For an epidemiologist, that's like, you know,
it's like the headline without the article.
That's exactly it. It's the headline without the article. This really boils down to a lack of transparency from China, from the lab and from the government specifically. You know, the silence kind of fuels suspicion. They must have something because they're not talking about it.
The scientists had wanted lists of what animals had been sold in the market for clues if the virus could have jumped from there. They wanted to test patient blood samples for antibodies to find out if COVID had started spreading earlier. And they wanted to see the lab's safety logs, but they never got them.
I think there's just a frustration about, and knowing that there are possibly clues out there, not being able to go find these clues.
Based on these limited data sets, the team put out a report at the end of March. In it, they said the most likely scenario still appeared to be that the virus had jumped from animals to humans, and that it was extremely unlikely that it had come from a lab. But surprisingly, the WHO, the very body that had sent the team to Wuhan, wasn't satisfied with the report. How did the WHO respond to the report after it came out?
It was very interesting. The director general, Dr. Tedros, basically said, thanks for the report. It didn't cover all the bases that needed to be covered, and we got to go do more work.
All hypotheses are on the table and will need further study.
He singled out the laboratory leak hypothesis. The report had said a laboratory leak was extremely unlikely, and he offered to deploy specialists to go do a more thorough investigation. To step away or to contradict the findings of a report convened by the WHO is very unusual.
And calls for a more in-depth explanation have continued to grow. This month, a group of prominent scientists published a letter in an academic journal saying much more work is needed to understand COVID's origins.
18 scientists who, you know, had not really embraced this idea before wrote a letter and said, essentially, there's no evidence right now proving either that the virus evolved and jumped to humans in nature or that it escaped from a laboratory. We need to pursue both of these. This is science, and scientists, when they want to answer a question, a scientific question, pursue every possible hypothesis and rule them out one by one.
To really disprove the lab leak hypothesis, Betsy says scientists would need additional data from China.
Access to records of the viruses that the laboratory has and has worked with, interviews with laboratory employees, reviews of their medical records. You know, open your books, open your doors, and show us.
You know, if you turn the tables a little bit, I mean, no country wants to have a forensic exam of one of their premier scientific institutes.
It's a very fair question. You know, no country wants to show, open up the doors to their laboratories with high security facilities and show everybody what they're doing. The counterargument is millions of people have died. Economies have been seriously damaged. The world has totally changed. And so why wouldn't you want to, as a global community, try to figure out what happened? The problem is it was politicized, and people view it as a blame game. Who started this?
The Chinese government says at this point, they've done what was asked of them. They opened their doors to a group of international scientists. They shared information. Their part in this is over.
China considers the China portion of the search for the origin study to be complete. In other words, we don't see a need to do any further investigation in China.
Instead, China wants to see other places investigated, like Italy and the U.S. Chinese scientists have suggested that the virus came in from another country on frozen food, and they want that hypothesis to be taken more seriously, not further scrutiny into the Chinese lab. But further scrutiny is coming. President Biden's announcement on Wednesday specifically asked the intelligence community to look into the lab leak theory. And new reporting has surfaced about three workers at the Chinese lab who got sick with COVID-like symptoms a month before the first known COVID case. How likely do you think we are to find out where COVID really came from?
You know, I think about that every time I sit down to write a story. I don't know whether to be optimistic or pessimistic. I really don't. I'm worried about it because a year and a half has passed. I mean, the best evidence, the best clues are going to be right in front of you right when something happens or shortly thereafter. And on top of that, you've got so much suspicion and blame and finger pointing and, you know, bad relations. It's just hard to imagine how we're going to get much further beyond where we are now. On the flip side of it, scientists know so much more about how to look for and find these types of viruses. They have learned a lot in the last 15 years about coronaviruses in particular. And so I think that's kind of hopeful, but it will involve doing more work and collaborating more closely with scientists in China. So it really comes down to, will that be possible or not soon?
What happens if we never find out?
Our insatiable curiosity won't be satisfied. We won't know for sure what brought this human devastation on. More importantly, we just won't be able to answer how to prevent the next pandemic. And so I do worry about that.
That's all for today, Friday, May 28th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in today's episode from Jeremy Page and Drew Hinshaw. And don't forget, on Sunday, we're dropping the first two episodes in our To the Moon series, all about GameStop and the investing revolution. Your hosts are Ryan Knutson and me, Kate Limelaw. The show is produced by Catherine Brewer, Gerard Cole, Pia Gadkari, Martin Kessler, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nasuli, Ricky Novetsky, Enrique Perez, Sarah Platt, Willa Rubin, Annie Rose Strasser, and John White. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner, Emma Munger, and Nathan Singapak. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Marcus Bagala, Peter Leonard, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, So Wiley, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Amelia Schoenbeck. Thanks for listening. See you Sunday.